Day 0 update for September 9th, 2018. I'm Felipe Adolfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I am Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Jan Red Victorio.
Yeah, we were supposed to have a Nintendo Direct this week, so that would have brought with it a whole bunch of news. But we got
that didn't happen.
No, there was an earthquake down there in Japan, and that kind of put a damper on things.
So. And there was a typhoon. Wasn't there also a typhoon?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, it kind of wrecked shit. So.
Yeah. The ground started shaking, and now things are underwater. So yeah, probably better for them to postpone that until things calm down a bit and they get some stability again. That was one of our main topics, but that's worth mentioning.
Didn't happen
now,
so
yeah. There's not a whole hell of a lot of news this week, to be brutally honest.
Well, we got some stuff that we can discuss, so
There's some stuff that's
the Sega Dreamcast is old enough to smoke in the state of Utah.
Yep.
I think it's 1999. That would make it's. I think it's old enough to drink in the States now.
21.
Not quite.
Two more years.
Yeah.
Old enough to drink. Okay. So. Yeah. So we got a lot to talk about there, and we'll get into it with what we've been playing. So this week I'm still going through the Shining Force series. I've got well into Shining Force CD Book 2. It's more of the same. They didn't really improve the system between 1 and 2, so it's like all kind of standardized. But it's still fine. I'm enjoying it. It's basically all of the good stuff that I enjoyed about the game just distilled down to its essence. So that's kind of fun. Apart from that, I've been doing all of the emulators.
All of them.
All of them.
Yep.
So I've been messing with PCSX2, the PlayStation 2 emulator.
How's that doing these days?
That's actually pretty damn fantastic right now.
Huh.
I was able to play Silphied the Lost Planet, which was always a troubled game for that emulator. Now runs flawlessly. I'm using internal rendering resolution of 5x native, so the image I'm getting is super super crisp. So if you've got the hardware, you can really make these games look pretty damn fantastic. I've also been messing with RU Dream, which is, as you might imagine, a Dreamcast emulator, and that is really good. Soul Calibur runs brilliantly. I've got that running at 1080p perfectly. The 2D stuff like Capcom versus SNK, those always did run fine, so I've been messing with those as well, and they run great. Also been messing with RPCS3, the PS3 emulator, and that is just shockingly good for how early it is. It's pretty damn amazing. I don't have many games on it right now because, there's a project I'm undertaking later today to alleviate that. So I'm going to be custom firmwaring my PS3 so I can dump my own games and, bring them into the emulator. I could just play the games on the actual PS3 hardware, but where's the fun in that? So I've been playing Tekken 6 a little bit on the emulator, and I still have some frame hiccups
I thought you were just going to say it's still Tekken 6.
Well, yeah, it is still Tekken 6, so it runs okay. Weird audio hitch-ups that I'm not entirely sure where they're coming from, because they're completely random, it seems. It's like CPU utilization doesn't seem to be a part of it, so it's probably one of those things that's just, the emulator is still early and it'll get better as it goes. But, so that was actually kind of fun. I threw in Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection, so it's like had my Yo Dog moment. Yo, dog, I heard you like emulators. So put an emulator in your emulator. That's going to be a lot of fun to dig into some more and see what it can and can't do. Yeah, might be one to watch, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So that's kind of been it for me. What about you, Pat?
I've been kind of all over the place this week. I've been playing NHL 18 to get in practice for NHL 19 coming out at the end of next week. Just looking at the videos, I'm really excited for some of the features coming up, so I'm getting in that hockey mode again.
Right.
And, yeah, I'm just really looking forward to the new release. But going all over the place in that game, doing some Be a Pro, doing some threes. Got a friend that I'm trying to pass some knowledge on to, so that's kind of given me a new outlook on the game as a whole. But there's been quite a bit of that. I just got like 3 hours into Dragon Quest XI. I picked that up. And for Tekken 7 and Fighting EX Layer, I've just been checking out some new content that's come along.
Cause Tekken 7 Season 2 is underway now.
It is. I haven't really put much time into the new characters yet, but the balancing changes are pretty pronounced.
Okay.
But I'm still not sure how I feel about the wall bounces. They just don't really feel like they quite fit the game system as a whole. It feels a little bit forced, but maybe we'll see with time.
Yeah.
I already felt like combos took too much time in Tekken 7 as it was, and this doesn't help that problem any. But I don't know. Like I said, we'll see. As for Fighting EX Layer, I'm thinking I might actually have a secondary character in Polymperna. So, it's kind of annoying that she has to do a quarter circle motion for dive kicks.
Yeah.
But, it's a minor gripe. I'll definitely get something worked out.
Yeah.
All right.
So you still enjoying Fighting EX Layer? Worth purchasing?
Yes. Well, absolutely.
Looking in on that, because I was on the PS2, I was playing Street Fighter EX 3 because I hate myself.
Fighting EX Layer is really good. Definitely get the standard edition because you want all the extra content.
Okay.
And basically the standard edition gets you all the content moving forward.
Okay.
Like everything that is being added to the game is gratis when you have the standard edition.
So you pay a little more up front, but
yeah. Whereas it's more piecemeal with the
base.
I forget what they're calling it, but and yeah, with all the content that's in the pipeline, you're definitely going to want that.
Yeah.
But it's a fantastic game. It definitely takes a more old-school approach. Dashing is a thing, but it doesn't feel like it's at the expense of walking speed, so you have that kind of old-school Street Fighter II hyper-fighting feel to the footsies.
Yeah.
It just feels good. It feels satisfying.
Cool. All right, so what about you, Brandon?
Well, my primary gaming for the last week has been Divinity Original Sin 2. I finally now have, I have the PS4 edition, so I don't have to worry about, playing it with stuttering, blocky graphics on my PC. So I can play it as it was originally intended. And, wow, it is a really good game. It is hard as balls, but it is a very good game. I mean, it's very much an old school isometric RPG. So, if you've ever played Baldur's Gate or Planescape or, anything like that, you know what you're in for. Old school Fallout, You know, and those games are very rewarding, but they are also hard as balls and will basically massacre you very quickly if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
But basically the whole sort of idea with this game is that you are a person who has been, you're living in an era in this particular fantasy world where there are people who are drawing on a magic power called the Source. But the problem is that if you try to use the Source, there is a very good chance that you will end up calling into these extra-dimensional horror shows called the Voidwoken. And these can be anything from, like, you know, sort of like deer-sized sluggy creatures to, like, these gigantic insects or worms. Very gross, horrifying-looking things. So the Magisters, who are sort of like the reigning religious order or whatever, decide that, you know what, it would probably be a good idea if every time somebody seems to show that they may be doing the Source, that we clap an anti-Source collar on them and then ship them off to a ghetto in Fort Joy. So it's basically a concentration camp for people who may have Source power. And there's like a set number of 5 characters that you can choose from, or you can, you know, customize and create your own character. If you use one of the set 5 characters, they all have sort of their individual parts of the story to tell. But if you play as a custom character, your custom character will have their own story to tell, and you'll be interacting with the other 5 characters as if they were, you know, as if they were regular companions. It's really neat. The game is not only very well written, it's very large.
Yeah.
I only started the second part of the game a couple days ago. It's just a whole new place to explore. And it's not only like it gets really dark, but it's also surprisingly funny at times as well. So it's good. You know, I highly recommend it, obviously.
Yeah, you know, hearing you describe, like, the setting and the story, I get a real Wheel of Time vibe from it, because the premise is very similar to that.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that makes me kind of want to play it more, so...
Yeah. Well, sort of eventually, like, the whole point of the game is that, the game is called Divinity for a reason. Eventually, you're called what's called a Godwoken, and you have to... Essentially, you have to attain godhood. So, yeah, that kind of is Wheel of Time-ish, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, it's really good. I highly recommend it. And other than that, I'm trying to finish up Death's Gambit, which is...
I also do want to point out that one of our former alumni, Kevin Van Lord, is a writer on that game as well, so kudos to them.
Which one, Death's Gambit?
Divinity Original Sin 2.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
No, mm-hmm. Didn't know that either.
Cool.
You need to get in contact with him and have him do stuff on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Have him hang out.
Have him as a guest sometime. Might be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Tell us how he worked on Divinity.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
But, like I said, I'm also trying to finish up Death's Gambit and, dying a lot in the process. You should be able to read my review of Death's Gambit soon.
Yeah, it's going to be up in the next couple of days.
But yeah, you'll get a good idea of it. It's, like I said, it's 2D Dark Souls that knows that it's a 2D Dark Souls and will kick your ass at every single opportunity. So that's about all I got. So, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I've been continuing to play more Dragon Quest XI. I've gotten through the first dungeon in the game, which is pretty good. They introduce the ability to get mounts out of enemies, or specific enemies that are glowing. You just have to beat them in a fight, and you get to ride them, which for this one was an egg knight. So it was like a metallic kind of egg with legs, and he can just fucking jump pretty high. So there were a couple chests up on these ledges that I had to get to, and that helped out pretty good. But the disappointment is that you can't carry them outside of the dungeon, which would have been nice, but otherwise I just have the horse. But yeah, I've gotten through this little first part of the game, working towards getting out of this starting area, and yeah, it's been good so far. The battle system is starting to pick up a bit now that I've got some spells and some other pep powers that are pretty good, one of which just causes this like flaming rock to spike out of the ground into the enemies at every single turn, which is nice for doing damage to the bosses, which is when I got the first time to use it. But yeah, I've been using the spells more now because that dungeon, there are enemies all over the place. So it's a good place for doing some grinding as well as actually trying out some things, especially making use of the spells, though I don't have a ton just yet. My main character has heal and fire spells. I think I just got a group lightning spell out of that whole like grid system, upgrade system. But yeah, that's been quite good so far, and I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it. I've also been playing Spider-Man, the new Insomniac game, and as you might expect, it sucks. Puzzles in the game. It's really terrible. It looks like shit. No, it's a very good game. Very much pulling inspirations from a lot of comic games you might know, like the Batman games, the Arkham games. The combat is a bit similar to that, though I would say it's kind of more active here. Because in Batman, they kind of just attack like one at a time, kind of old like kung fu movie kind of style.
Yeah.
Whereas here, guys do not hesitate to come up on you and attack you, or you have guys with guns, and you have your spidey sense to give you like where they're aiming with those guns, so you can dodge out of the way. I have some abilities to potentially yank those guns out, though it's a little bit tough to pull that off because I have multiple abilities attached to holding down the triangle button. So sometimes it doesn't do exactly what I want it to do, though it just might be a case of getting better used to the controls.
Yeah,
because they take a good bit. I got killed by Kingpin a few times in the opening bit. Because I just did not have the rhythm down on how to take them out, which for like the brutes is all about just using your spider webs on them and sort of wrapping them up and slowing them down on the brutes, which definitely makes it a little bit harder in some of the combat scenarios when you have other guys with guns or they're just running around to have this brute that just comes in and just fucks you up pretty quickly. Yeah, one of the cool things I really like is just their dedication to sort of documenting the lore of Spider-Man. So one of the first things I did once I got the first couple story missions out of the way is just go around and unlock all the towers, which are sort of Far Cry-esque towers that just opens up the map and shows you, you know, points of interest around there.
Yeah.
Though I was early enough that it was only basically showing me the backpacks, which is one of the collectibles probably the main collectible in the game, which all have like little bits of like Spidey gear in it that are just like, oh, here's the broken lens from when I fought, when he fought, what was it, probably Vulture or something like that. And it's like lots of little things like that. His first hospital bill.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. It's just a lot of good stuff. So I basically just went around and got all that, which unlocks the, I believe it's the makeshift Spider-Man suit from Homecoming. And for pre-ordering it, I had a couple suits unlocked already, which include the Iron Spider suit from the Infinity War movie.
Yeah.
Which, what's cool is they let you use, once you unlock the Spider-Man suits, they have abilities, special abilities tied to them that you push both sticks in for, and you can equip those abilities independent of the suit. So you can have sort of any of the looks you want and what other special ability you want that's independent of that. And there are also three mods that are just other special bonuses. Like I have one just reduces melee damage, gun damage, and something else. I forget what the other one is. I think it's increased dodge ability. So yeah, there's like a lot of little fine-tuning and visual stuff, and the J. Jonah Jameson podcast is great.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's very much Alex Jones-esque because he left the Daily Bugle and is just ranting about how, I think one of the first ones, he's saying because you took down Kingpin, you're just going to make things worse because now there's going to be a bunch of gangs vying for control of the city. And it's like, yeah, that'll happen. But, yeah, this, I think I changed to the Spider-Punk suit, and he's just ranting about how he was around when Punk was getting started. Spider-Man's not Punk or something like that. And that stuff just kind of plays as you're going around when it deems it worthy of having a new episode out.
Yeah.
But you can go back and listen to it specifically afterwards. But yeah, there's just a lot of cool stuff. The swinging is pretty good. I've never played Spider-Man 2. So I'm actually kind of glad because the people that's obsessed about that stuff is kind of insufferable at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen people literally comparing GIFs of the animation. Like, he doesn't drop far enough when you start the swinging animation. It's like, oh, my God. I am so glad I never played this game to give this much of a shit about the animation. But yeah, it's a really fun game and plays a lot on the typical Spider-Man stuff. He's working with Dr. Octavius, who kind of initially has a little bit of a malfunction with the mind-controlled limbs that they're working on, where it's like, oh, is this where he becomes that? But no. Yeah, it's like eight years in from him doing the Spider-Man thing, so he's taking a lot of bumps and all that. I've learned a lot of things. And yeah, it's a really fun game. I'm looking forward to putting some more time into that. After I got all the backpacks, I went to go do a side quest that was up in the northern part of the, I guess, Manhattan. And the game crashed. As soon as it started, I was like, oh, this is a good time to stop.
Whoops.
The game was tired of me trying to do story stuff. It's like, no, we're not doing it now. But yeah, that game's going to be really fun to keep playing. I also jump back into some stuff I have been meaning to. I played some more PUBG on the Xbox One X, at least. And now that it's out 1.0, and it actually runs pretty well. I didn't really notice too much in the way of frame rate issues. Yeah, they have their own like battle pass system like in Fortnite. A lot of stuff about grinding, playing on specific maps. They have weekly stuff as well. And I managed to get some nice kills in there. Didn't do too well as far as finishing time, but yeah, it's a good game. I'm looking forward to putting some more time into it now that that is kind of mostly kind of polished off the way it should be. I've also been playing some more Rocket League now that they put out their Rocket Pass, which is basically a battle pass for Rocket League. So that combines nicely with the progression system for experience that they put up about a week or so ago. Because they have sort of the same way. It's like two different tiers of unlock stuff. You have your general one for playing for free. You just play more and you get XP that opens that stuff up. It's like every other level you get something like that. Mm-hmm. For free, if you pay for the battle pass, the rocket pass, you get something for every level. Which I think one of the first items is a new car body, which is something that's in some of the loot crates. But yeah, that's it was a lot of fun jumping back into it. Especially I was winning a lot of the stuff in the ranked playlist, which hasn't been a common thing for me. And I also got some really great goals in that might be some of the best I've ever done. So I'm definitely wanting to put some more time into that. I might grab the Rocket Pass at some point. The weird thing is you can't buy it directly. It's basically using the keys as currency, which people with fans have been doing for a while now. Since you can trade the keys for the cosmetics with other players. But I found it weird that it's like, oh, this costs 10 keys. Like, wait, what the fuck? You can't just buy it for 10 bucks? But, yeah, you just buy $10 worth of keys and spend that on the Battle Pass itself. But otherwise, that's kind of been mostly it this week. How about you, Dan Reb?
It's been crazy. Actually, last week I was at Crunchyroll Expo. I had the chance to interview Yuji Horii and talk to some members of Dragon Quest development team. So that was awesome. Like I've done interviews before, but I've never actually talked to a legend. So it was a really thought provoking and engaging experience. And yeah, he's a really warm individual, and it's good to know that there's a lot of still a lot of good people left in the industry. And after the interview, he actually gave us a copy of Dragon Quest XI, and note that this was the day before its release. So it was technically an advanced copy, had him sign it. And yeah, it was totally great. Like here in Northern California, we have three anime conventions that gain a lot of attention. So there's Fanimecon, Anime Expo, and SAC Anime. And Crunchyroll is pretty new. They just started last year. They were in Santa Clara last year, and it was a smaller convention. And this year, they attracted over 45,000 people. And it was a pretty awesome experience. Last year, they had Amano, the artist of the Final Fantasy series, so it was cool interacting with him, too. So I'm really enjoying the fact that they've been bringing in like all these like legendary game designers and artists, and I'm hoping they do the same thing next year, because so far I've been having a whole lot more fun there than I have with the other conventions, and the gaming connection is really the main part of it. Cosplay wise, there's a whole lot of My Hero Academia. I've never gotten into that show. I've given it five episodes a chance, and I just can't. I don't understand why that show is so popular. But part of it is because I've also probably outgrown shonen anime, so that may be it. But yeah, con stuff aside, obviously I'm also playing Dragon Quest XI. I'm not too far in. I'm about 6 hours in, and I only have like two people in my party, so I'm going really slow with it. Part of it is some really insane inconsistency with the game's challenge. Like, at first, it was really easy. And then as soon as I recruited somebody, it got really hard. And I was like, what the hell? This is not the way JRPGs usually are. And, it's been tough to adjust in that regard. Another thing I'm not liking is the fact that I think the text is way too slow for my reading speed, and I can't adjust it. So that's also been slowing things down. But the game is gorgeous. It looks a whole lot better than Ni No Kuni 2. And Ni No Kuni 2 was a really good-looking game. So the fact that all this attention went into the aesthetics of it is pretty pleasing. You even have the option of, like, sort of seeing the battles in first person like the other Dragon Quests do, where you have the enemy in the middle of the screen, or you can just have their characters freely roam. You can have your characters freely roam, but it doesn't really affect your defense. Enemies will still hit you no matter what. Pretty solid. But, Dragon Quest XI, for lack of a better term, is the same endearing Dragon Quest you've been enjoying for the 30 years. I mean, if you read my interview, which is on Smashpad, you'd know that we're probably not going to see any radical change with the main series anytime soon. But you know what? That's probably
put a smile on my face.
Exactly, and like that. If you're going to see change in it, that's probably going to be through the Dragon Quest Heroes spinoffs, like in Rocket Slime, the action oriented games, and like at the same time, those are really fun. So if they want to innovate there and find their way to, you know, put what you have in the other games to the mainline series, I'm all fine with that. But you know what? Dragon Quest is a game that I don't really want to change much, and it appears that it hasn't, and so that'll work out in the long run. I don't know how long it'll be. From what I've seen, it's lasting people around 60, 70 hours for the main quest. But yeah, that's classic Dragon Quest, and I'm all about it.
The Final Fantasy arm of Square Enix could learn a lot from them.
Yeah, totally. Even the Octopath Traveler arm. So, as we all know, it's football season, so I'm watching it right now. I have Octopath Traveler in my hand, so I'm at a point where I have to grind, so it doesn't matter if I'm paying attention or not. I finished all of the Chapter 3s, and I'm working on getting all of my characters up to level 45. Haunted's a beast. She's already at 60-something by now, but I just want to make sure that everybody's at 45. If you actually look at the recommended level for everybody in Chapter 4, it's all at 45 this time, whereas like in other chapters it was like 5 or, you know, 4 levels difference. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it now.
Are you doing Ulbricht build with Thief?
I did remember listening to you talking about it, and I've never had an instance where I've done, like, you know, 32,000 damage, but I've definitely figured out that, you know, there are some tricks you can do. The one thing that I'm really spamming is the fact that Darien or any thief can do the steal SP and, like, hit an enemy twice, and then you can just go ahead and share that to, you know, not use as many items, because I'm pretty notorious for going ahead and using my items here, and it's giving it a whole different set of depth here. What were you saying?
And if something has a knife weakness, then you can use steel SP as basically a free double shot.
Yeah, basically. It's really helping, especially with the enemies that have higher, what was it called? Shield points or whatever they're called. Yeah. But from what I've remembered in our last few podcasts, whenever you guys talk about it, Chapter 4 is a doozy. And I'm looking forward to the challenge, because right now it hasn't been that hard. Like, yeah, there's been some bosses where I've had to, like, you know, die twice to figure it out. But aside from that, the only real trouble I'm having is with these, like, I guess they're secret bosses, because they're, like, defending what I'm assuming are super classes. And, I don't really have anybody leveled up enough to really get there. I got really close once, but, you know, it was, like, 3 a.m. Decided to put it down there and go to sleep, but I'll get back into it. So, yeah, I'm playing it right now and just grinding my way up there.
And God, I'm completely blanking on his name. Sword guy. Ulbricht, yeah.
Okay.
Once you get him up to, like, around level 50, the game pretty much beats itself.
Yeah,
because his, you know, he has his, like, his major, like, four, like, his 3-point, like, major attack is that really strong sword attack. And if you manage to, like, get him, like, use Primrose or whatever character you have working as a dancer at any time to, like, give him a bunch of buff ups and, you know, manage to get him, like, strong enough with, like, a strong enough weapon, he can take out, like, 30, 1,000 points of damage per attack.
The thing to do is to have Ulbrich with Thief, have him put the defense debuff on the enemy, have him do his natural attack buff on himself, and then just set up a situation to where their defense broken, and he has three BP to burn on, or SP or whatever to burn on his... I forget what they call it, but his ultimate, basically.
Yeah.
I was getting all those crazy damage attacks in.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, one of the best things about Octopath's battle system is the fact that you think it's siphoning you into doing certain things specifically, but if you go ahead and try other things, such as, you know, what you mentioned, one thing I like to do is I like to use the Apothecary to poison the enemy for 9 turns, which almost always works. It just becomes, like, totally crazy stuff. And, I'm about 70 hours in now. I think the end is near. I don't know. We'll see. But this is definitely the game with the most hours on my Switch. Yes, it has more hours than Zelda. So just want to point that out. Speaking of which, lastly, I'm playing Spider-Man. This game has totally taken up all my time. Yesterday was the first free Saturday I have had in like a couple months, and I spent the entire time playing Spider-Man. Just the exploration in this game is tremendous. I've never had this much fun exploring in a world since Breath of the Wild, and a lot of it is because of the fact that there's so much to do. I mean, I know Chris mentioned a whole bunch of different shit earlier, but with Spider-Man, you know, not only can you collect the backpacks and go ahead and find the waypoints and whatnot, but the game actually encourages you to do as much story as possible, because each section of New York has all these locked activities that you can do, and you don't even know what they are until you actually unlock them. So you can go ahead and find Black Cat's hidden toys. You can find these research bases that you actually need to do in order to upgrade your suit more. You know, there's all that and a lot more. And
have you seen the murals?
Yes, I have seen the murals.
There's like Black Cat murals. There's one of J. Jonah Jameson as a baby on a cover of the Daily Bugle. Of him just yelling.
It's insane. Like the murals are great too. And actually part of those Black Cat murals is you'll find her toys near them, and you actually zoom in and take a picture. You also have to like take a picture of the various landmarks there. There's going to be the Daily Bugle. Yeah. There'll be the Avengers Tower. You'll even find...
It has
a good
photo mode too.
Yeah. The weird thing about the photo mode, though, is I actually haven't figured out how to actually take a picture through the photo mode.
You could just turn off the HUD and use the share button.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's
usually
how they work.
I've seen people like actually taking selfies, like Spider-Man's posing and shit, and I have no idea how people are doing
that. That might be one of the camera options in there. There's a bunch of options in there.
Oh, yeah, but anyway, the Easter eggs are totally insane. Like, I just wish Insomniac was doing the entire Marvel universe. Like that would be great. Like if there were a Marvel gaming cinematic universe, like I'd be all about it, because this game is
so like make cool. Them what make them the equivalent to Marvel what you know, whatever they were was for Batman.
Oh yeah.
Rocksteady.
Yeah.
Rocksteady, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, like, if Marvel was, like, talking to Insomniac and, you know, Square Enix at the same time to see if they can make it all work, I'm all about it. But, you know, we'll just see where it goes from there. But
I don't imagine the gaming rights are as up in the air as the movie rights, so...
No. Yeah.
That could be one hell of a loophole.
What else was I going to talk about with this game? The production is really great here. It kind of feels like a sort of an Uncharted, because you know you have Spider-Man just doing all these insane stunts through helicopters and things like that. And one thing I was going to mention is like when you're traversing the world and doing random tasks such as all the side quests and stuff, oftentimes you'll have a random crime happening, and then it's up to you to solve it and whatnot. And if you don't actually make an effort to, you know, right that wrong, later on in the podcast that Chris mentioned, they'll go ahead and have guests call Spider-Man out. And I was like, man, that just happened. How did they even know that did? And
have you looked at the Twitter feed?
I did.
It's like an in-game Twitter feed. And people are like, oh, I saw a naked guy walking down the street. Thanks, Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. It's just really good stuff. Spider-Man is really fun. Like, it's comparative to last year, where, like, okay, like, Zelda was going to be my game of the year, but then you have, like, Mario Odyssey being as fun as it is. I really see Spider-Man and Octopath just making me confused come December. So, yeah.
It's also fair to point out that if you have a PS4 Pro, you are actually going to get a better experience with Spider-Man than you are on a base.
Yeah, I mean, the PS4 Pro is just better. There's no other way to put it.
Yeah, it just, that flat out looks a lot better. But that whole puddle gate thing that that happened was, turns out it was a comparison, but they didn't know that they were looking at a base PS4 screenshot. So,
oh, yeah. I actually took a screenshot of that situation, and I was like, I think I have more puddles than some people do. So that might have been it.
And I saw people, like, just taking screenshots that just put blur on. It's like, oh, here's it from 2017 is the clear screenshot. They just added blur on this 2018. It's like, oh, look at this. Looks so worse. It's like, it's because the lighting changes throughout the day and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Different scenarios have different lighting and all that, so it looks different. And they're probably also using different suits.
Yeah,
because you can have the classic one if you don't like the main one they've been showing.
Yeah,
there's just a ton of suits that are good. And I imagine some have better lighting on them, like they're more reflective, while others are probably more matte.
Yeah, I mean, like in regards to the suits, like if you're a huge Spider-Man fan, you follow the comic book lore, they'll probably have more fun with the suits than anything else, because you have the Secret War suit, you have the Stark suit, a lot of stuff.
There's the noir suit. Mm-hmm. Just featured in one of the Activision Spider-Man games, I know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's just awesome how much stuff they're cramming into that game. I'm going to have to get it. I was on the fence about it, and now everybody's saying it's amazing, so...
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had, like, 40 people on my PS4 online feed today, and I swear, like, 30 of them were playing Spider-Man. And I was like, well, I didn't even know most of you played games, but, you know, it's great. Yeah. All
right. So is that pretty much it?
Yep, that's it.
All right, so we'll get on to our news stories of the week, and it kind of wouldn't be a week without another Nintendo What the Hell Are You Doing story. So we know the online Nintendo Switch service is coming out a little later this month. Now we're coming to find out that one of the biggest features, the cloud saves, which would actually make, you know, things nice and safe, is game specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, in other words, it doesn't support all the games, in other words, which...
Yeah.
Big surprise!
Was part of the FAQ we looked at before about the Switch online stuff. I think that was something that was definitely mentioned there. But we didn't know what games such were going to not support it. And also, Nintendo put out a statement basically saying it would allow some games to cheat. How? Like, with Splatoon 2, you should be able to have their data stored as, like, a permanent thing. Then you verify it against what they have on their actual save.
Yeah.
And you just update it. Say, no, that's not right. This is what it is.
To cheat.
Yeah. It's like, there's no reason you should have this problem.
Well, like, we all know Nintendo doesn't understand online, so...
Yeah, and apparently they still don't.
Yeah.
I mean, like, aside from this weirdness, isn't this the case with, like, all three developers anyway? Because I'm pretty sure Overcooked 2 doesn't have cloud saves either on PS4 and Xbox One.
No. Xbox One and PS4 are both system level. They just work.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm probably doing something wrong, because, like, I play Overcooked 2 at work all the time, but when I go back home and play with the same profile, I can't, load my same save.
Yeah, one of the things about the PS4 is it's not... I'm not sure if they changed this, but initially it doesn't automatically save right away. to your profile, you actually have to trigger it.
Yeah, you might have to just push options on the game and upload the save there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it might also be possible that developers could disable it, but I don't know of very many that do.
Yeah. Case. It's not a thing I don't think is at least like widely talked about.
Yeah.
If any do.
Yeah. I know Steam doesn't. It's just a thing that works. And yeah, the Xbox One is just part of the system. It works
with the problem with Steam is Xbox Live or not. Not many games support it.
Yeah.
Which is just annoying.
Hmm.
Especially if you're just changing hardware.
Yeah.
And you're like, irritating. Fuck, I gotta figure out where the hell these saves are at.
So, it's a bit of a bummer, because that kind of makes, you know, that feature, especially if, you know, if you're somebody who's going to be playing a lot of Pokemon Let's Go, and, you know, you happen to lose your Switch, or it gets stolen, well, there goes all your time, because that's one of the games that doesn't get supported.
I assume they have to have some sort of local thing they're coming out with at the same time, but obviously, they have not talked anything about the Switch Online service, even though it's supposed to be out in a couple weeks.
Yeah, they haven't even finished announcing the other 10 NES games that are supposed to be coming. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, I don't get it.
Nintendo people can spend money on this service already, and they haven't told people exactly what they're getting.
Yeah. I will say that for, you know, I think it's $35 for a 7-person family plan.
Yeah.
That's kind of a no-brainer if you have more than one person in your household that has a Switch. So that's kind of worth it there.
Yeah, it's not even a household thing. You can do it with anybody you want.
Yeah, you can just go whatever's with your buddies and have Switch Online.
I'm just wondering if their Direct had anything to do with the online stuff.
It probably would have.
It was 35 minutes, which is actually pretty long for a Direct.
Yeah,
the indie one they had a couple weeks ago was like 16 minutes. Also the weird thing about all this stuff is just how they're communicating this information, which is not anything that real normal people would notice.
It's down at the bottom in their boilerplate on the game pages.
Yeah, it's on the web store.
Yeah.
It's not on the eShop.
Hmm.
But on the eShop, you can find out in the fine print what games require the Switch Online to play online.
Yeah.
But that's not on the web store.
No.
And it's like, what the fuck are you doing? You got some information here, some information there, and you still don't have like a collective place to contain all that information on your
it's
site.
It's almost like they don't really want you to know.
That or they don't think people want that.
Yeah.
Because I've mentioned on the internet that like there's information we need to know, and a Direct would be a good place to put that out. And they're like, no, we know everything. It's like, no, we fucking don't.
We still
then don't. Again, like the Switch Online probably only has like 2 active communities in Splatoon 2 and Mario Kart 8 anyway. And they're probably people who would spend to get it anyhow, so I don't know. I mean, like,
they all want Smash and Pokemon.
Yeah. Obviously, like, you know, I'm not going to offend myself, but, you know, I'm not going to play games online. It's just, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So, all right. So if there's that. Just be aware of it. And if you're trying to figure out whether your game supports cloud saves, you're going to have to look in 2 different places to find that out.
God damn it, Nintendo.
This is why companies that have their own like network services like EA and 2K and all that should already just support saves on their own networks.
Yeah.
Let you play on multiple platforms with the same save.
Yeah.
In a way that encourages you to buy the game on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
Versus the idea of, oh, I have to start over again if I buy it on Switch or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, no, make it easy for them to keep that information, because you already have it anyway.
Yeah.
So
we mentioned earlier that the Nintendo Direct was postponed because of the typhoon and earthquake over in Japan.
Yeah.
But some stuff did come out, so it's probably worth going through that at least. So we got Final Fantasy XV Pocket Edition HD.
Basically, chibi Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
25 bucks. It's on sale for, I think it's 18.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's about 40% off. So pretty decent price for the launch. I don't know what all the differences is with the main game besides visuals. Mm. I assume it's probably a bit more of a brief game.
Probably. Which
would probably be to the game's advantage.
Yeah. Because, God, the original is just... Oh, parts of it can be a chore.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, I'm probably the only person on staff who doesn't hate FF15 to a passion.
Oh, you know, I don't actually hate it. There's some pretty great parts in it.
I just got fucking tired of it early on.
Yeah, it's just that it's very much representative of the Square thinking they're Hollywood syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, Tim Geddes from Kinda Funny calls it the game that took forever to come out and won't stop coming out, and this is a pure prime example of it. But yeah, I mean, like, going back to the original, I mean, like, the main way to get value from this game is to have, like, watched the animes and then be invested in all the DLC that came after. And that's asking a lot from a gamer.
And then there's the movie. There's, like, a whole feature film you have to watch.
I'm not even going to address that. You don't even have to watch it. It's shit.
Watch that because it's garbage. It will take your life.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I've never played Pocket Edition. I'm wondering how it worked out because there isn't much character progression in the game to begin with. And the battle system is more like a hold circle throughout the whole way through and spam items. So I don't know, but you know, it's at a decent price point. I'll tell you that much. And I guess we can say that, you know, the Switch has a mainline Final Fantasy on the console, but
sort of, kinda, yeah. Yeah. So there's that. More interesting probably is Yoshi's Crafted World, which is looking pretty sweet.
Yeah, like this one was obviously like never announced as a title, but it was on Nintendo's site for a while, and then as soon as somebody saw it, it came down. So this is definitely true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, so it's no longer just called Yoshi.
Mm. Yep.
which is nice and fits the name of the last game. I forget what that one was. Yeah. It's called the
Woolly World.
Woolly World?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it seems to take itself after Woolly World's aesthetic, but more about pop-up books and, like, what's it called? Those kinds of puzzles. Like, it would be really cool if, like, what's it called? What's that cardboard thing called again? Labo?
Yeah.
Had something to do with it. But, you know, this is still a fun-looking game, but it's not coming out till next year.
Yeah, so that's a 2019 release. Well, then again, you know, 2019 isn't exactly far at this point. So
no,
yeah, I assume we could have gotten like an early 2019 date.
Yeah,
since that was supposed to come out this year at some point.
Yeah.
This will probably
if they're wrong, then it seems like.
Well, I was going to say this will probably be one that would have gotten announced at the Direct if it had actually happened. So, we'll wait and see.
So the Direct's supposed to get a new start time at some point, hopefully earlier this week.
Yeah, it'll probably be like Wednesday or Thursday again, like when it was supposed to be. Well, the other one was supposed to be Tuesday, so they might, Tuesday is September 11th, so... Yeah, if they want to be sensitive to the audience.
I mean, we've got games coming out on 9/11 anyway.
Nothing's coming out 9/11. So, yeah, that date's been, if it's a Tuesday and it's a 9/11, you don't come out. It's just...
Nope.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. I mean, like, it could come out at any time. I mean, Nintendo literally announces these 20 hours before they happen. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's ready.
And Nintendo Switch Online is out now.
Yeah.
Oops.
We just told you about it, and it goes on live on the store.
Yeah, they would do that.
They totally would do that. Yeah. So, next up, the last one bit of news. I'm sorry, Teresa.
Oh, boy.
Civ 6 coming to the Switch, and there goes all of Teresa's productivity.
Yeah.
We got to find a new editor, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it looks like it's actually going to be a pretty competent port. Yeah, I'm not entirely sure how they managed to cram all of that into the Switch, but it looks like they're going to do it.
They'll find a way.
Yep.
Yeah, I imagine it probably won't be very detailed. Because if you do a lot of the higher, I guess, scenarios with, you know, a lot of sieves and a lot of space, that was going to really chug even really good PCs.
Yeah, that's... I mean, the Civ games kind of destroy PCs to begin with, so...
Yeah,
I'm not sure how they're going to manage it, but, oh well, we'll see.
This is huge.
Oh, this is out on mobile, so maybe they ported that over.
Could be.
Still huge nonetheless.
Yeah, still big. But yeah. So that's worth looking at. Something that you can play right now, though, there's a demo for Mega Man 11 on PS4, Xbox One, and the Switch. So
people are mad.
Why people? When are people not mad?
Yeah, but this is a Mega Man thing. So apparently, when you jump into the boss gate, your guy just drops before moving through.
Mm-hmm.
They don't stay up in the air.
Oh, come on, people!
See, now you're mad.
I mean, that's easily fixed. But well, yeah,
it's also don't you know your audience?
You should.
Mm-hmm. So I guess this. In the grand scheme, it's not a big thing, but also this is a big thing to them.
God. This is, I mean, this is something that had to be deliberately programmed for this game. It was actually something that when on the NES and SNES, when that happened, that was just a fault of the hardware. They weren't actually trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, download it, try it out. And be annoyed or not. I don't know. I'm going to try it later and we'll see if it, see how it is. I'm a little, heartened that they're actually confident enough in it to actually do a demo. So, you know, there's that. Maybe it won't suck.
Yeah.
So what else we got here? Okay. THQ Nordic, which I think I'm going to call the Blob at this point because it's assimilating everything.
Well, that's more like the Borg, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, so there's that. They've picked up the IP for Kingdom of Amalur from 38 Studios for about $5.
I am actually very glad because... God, so has anyone... Who here has actually played Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning?
Yeah, it's a good game.
I played it briefly, and it was actually really good. I enjoyed
it. It is a legitimately great game, and it is legitimately worth playing. And it is just an absolute shame that it bombed like it did, because it deserved better.
Well, chances are, if THQ Nordic follows its MO, we'll probably see PS4, Xbox One, and PC remasters of... Kingdom of Amalur, which I would be completely okay with.
Yeah. Get all the guys that were involved with the original, except Kurt Schilling. Keep him far away.
Yeah.
I imagine most of them ran away from this IP, did not want to be anywhere near the state that it was in.
Yeah.
Get all the big guys that were on it. Go get R.A. Salvatore. Go get McFarlane.
Yeah, they got the lore book and all that.
Yeah.
But first put out the remaster, make sure people know that it exists, and then start working on a sequel.
Yeah, because, God, that the original, I loved just about everything about it. Mm. It was a legit great game, and, it's just, it's one of those things where you realize... Man, one person really can just poison everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ran that company like he had billions of dollars. Yeah.
He ran it into the ground is what he did. Yeah. And he ended up defrauding the people of Rhode Island millions of dollars. So
there's that.
And he has the nerve to complain about fucking economic issues and God, that's a completely other topic. I know, But yeah, if you ever get a chance,
maybe not completely.
Yeah, if you ever get a chance, there's still, you know, you can find used copies of it pretty cheaply.
I assume it's on EA Access.
At one point, we were issued it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you get a chance, go play it. It's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, and stay tuned next week when we announce the Kingdom of Amalur HD remaster showed up on the PS Store, because that's how THQ Nordic works.
And we will be getting it.
Yeah. So
again,
in other news, a little bit of a change up in the Capcom fighting division. Yoshinori Ono is out. That's weird.
He's still pretty much over the Street Fighter series, but the head of the division is now Ryozo Tsujimoto, who most people will associate with the Monster Hunter series.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of an interesting change. And hopefully it's done in the spirit that they're going to expand their fighting game operations, mm-hmm. because Capcom's presence in the genre has been pathetically small in recent years. And
it's been Street Fighter V, and that's pretty much it.
Well, there was sort of Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite.
That game, yeah.
They did not commit enough to it.
No. So, it's an interesting choice in that Tsujimoto has a very different outlook on business model. This could actually be pretty good for the fighting genre as a whole. They might not go and do those weird monetization things that they've tried to do. I'm not entirely sure that all of that was on Ono's head, but
no, I'm absolutely
a lot of it was handed down from above.
Yeah.
Thanks, Capcom.
It seems like a big Takeuchi move to me.
Yeah.
So, next up, we got a new studio to talk up. Tukyo
Games. We don't know. I mean, they're not really saying it. They're doing a lot to hint at, but considering the attitude, it's more than likely going to be a Yoko Taro project. because if there's anything Yoko Taro is known for, it's his self-effacing humor. Mm. And amongst, you know, having his games be batshit insane mindfucks. But yeah, it looks like he's getting ready to have his own studio again.
Yeah.
He's going to have his own studio, period. But, and
really striking out on his own.
Yeah.
And if he's able to, if he's still able to keep his relationship with Platinum, I'm excited to see what he's going to come up with. Because Nier Automata was a freaking beast. And if he can keep that up, I mean, we're going to be seeing, you know, he's no longer going to have to be known as the guy whose games have really great ideas but just can't get the gameplay down right. He's going to be a legit...
Platinum is the perfect studio to get you over that hub.
Yeah.
Well, it's keep in mind, Platinum is a contract developer, and they kind of always have been. Yep. So they just happen to be incredibly talented. So, I don't know that Platinum Games have ever really done their own IP. They've pretty much done a whole bunch of other games for other people. For other companies. Of course, somebody's probably going to correct me on that. But
well, they've tried. Mm. You know, they did have, what was it? Scale, what was it?
Scalebound. That got canceled. Yeah.
Microsoft.
But that, again, that was a Microsoft contracted game. But I don't see any reason that he couldn't continue that relationship with Platinum.
I want to see that.
What's the current status of Bayonetta?
Nintendo
IP. It is. Yeah, it's a Nintendo IP now. And we're probably going to see. We had Bayonetta 1 and 2. like they released it for the Switch.
And they did announce
worse.
So
yeah,
it's gonna be pretty good. So.
Yeah. Bayonetta is basically, you know, it's basically proof that Nintendo isn't just for kids anymore.
Yeah.
You know, outside of Japan. Because inside of Japan, they have no problem.
With any of this stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so our last news topic of the week is we talked a while ago about Farsight Studios. They lost the Bally Midway pinball table rights. And looks like Zen Studios has picked them up. So
yeah, this is a kind of weird thing to happen. Because Zen Studios' pinball work is not known for being accurate at all. Like anywhere close to reality that much.
No, that's just kind of their thing. They just do tables that
they
are
kind of go for fantastical
crazy
stuff. Yeah.
And I'm sure they're completely capable of doing, you know, accurate, but they just have not chosen to do that.
As right now, they have a beta on the Steam version of Pinball FX3 to try this stuff out, which I'm going to have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can download that and give it a shot and see what they're up to. So
yeah, still be weird to see like actual pinball tables in a Pinball FX game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can have like, you know, play Mars or whatever, Epic Quest, and then you have like, you know,
any of like 15 Star Wars tables, and it's like, I'm going to go play Medieval Madness.
Yeah, let's do that instead.
Yeah. So I guess the initial line that they have coming is Fishtails, Junkyard, Medieval Madness, and The Getaway High Speed 2.
That's a pretty good way of starting.
Sometime later this year.
Yeah. Like,
the
best known pinball tables, you know, of all time. So, super. Let's see how that goes. Wondering how they're gonna sell these, if they're gonna do packs again or if it's just gonna be piecemeal again. So
I would imagine they've been doing packs, I think, of late since Pinball FX 3 came out. So I imagine they'll have packs of this stuff.
So cool. All right.
It makes a lot more sense now why they would drop Farsight. Be like, okay, these guys have like a big deal with Disney doing Marvel and Star Wars tables constantly. Maybe we should get on with them.
Yeah, they also have money. So that's another
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's true.
So let's get to our picks of the week this week. And mine is a PS3 exploit. Which will let you hack your PS3 using nothing but a web browser and a USB key. This, unlike a lot of the other exploits that, you know, came out over the years, this one works on the latest 482 firmware. So basically, almost any PS3 is going to be able to be hacked this way. With the exception of the newer Super Slims, they haven't gotten around to getting that fixed yet. But pretty much all of the FATs, most of the Slims are able to be hacked this way, and you can install custom firmware. There's a couple of things you can do and still retain access to PSN. If any of you guys are interested, hit me up afterwards and we'll get this set up. It's actually not that difficult to do.
Nope.
So that's my pick. What about you, Pat?
Over on the Xbox store, there's one hell of a backward compatibility sale going on.
Oh, really?
And yep. So if you're looking for cheap 360 and legacy Xbox games for your Xbox One, now's the time to take a look at it.
Awesome.
Sounds good to me.
Skate 3 for $5.
That's worth it.
Is on there.
Let's see here. I'd imagine. What's here? Want to have a look at this? Okay, well, obviously you got the COD games, because of course they have to be. Let's see. Fight Champion. You got your GTA game.
Jet Set Radio, $5. Sonic Adventure, $3. $2.50, actually.
Yep. Crazy Taxi, $2.50.
A lot of money on these.
Oh, yeah.
Borderlands is there. Super Street Fighter 4 Arcade Edition. Well, I pretty much all have that. Red Dead. There's
Mirror's Edge, five bucks.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy, Army of Two, highly underrated.
Burnout Revenge, Jam on $7. Fire Edition,
$2.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm getting Burnout Revenge. All right, this is done.
Yeah, BioShock. Yeah, oh, great. Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff here.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it, Pat.
Well.
There. Yeah.
You're welcome, guys.
We still have Tomb Raider this week. Yeah. God damn it. Oh,
top ramen for the next month. Here I come.
So, what do you? What's your pick, Brandon?
All of the things.
Okay.
That's about it.
we were talking about your Conan, actually.
Oh yeah, and now for this. Oh yeah, so everybody. Okay, yeah, we all know who Conan O'Brien is, right?
Love Conan.
Yeah. We all love him. You know, he became the internet's favorite talk show host. After you know the stuff that went down with, well, he's doing a stuff over in Japan now. So basically, the story goes is that he was basically saying that he was the most popular Conan in the world. And then he found out about Detective Conan. You know, or Case Closed, as for whatever reason it was called over here. And he basically now is trying to go to the creator of Conan and wanting to get, like, a bunch of conversation because he's like, it totally ripped off my childhood story as a boy detective. Gosho Aoyama is the creator of Detective Conan, which, by the way, still ongoing, almost at 100 volumes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's been ongoing in Shonen Sunday for good 10 years, 15 years.
It's been ongoing on TV for a hot minute, too.
Yeah, it's been around for a while.
It's a shame the localization never picked up over here.
No, because it is legit a good series.
It's like somehow the anime version of like the Law and Order stuff.
Yeah, he legit manages to create some really good mysteries pretty much since the beginning. But anyway, so basically it was just his excuse to go out and do stuff in Japan. And one of the things he did is he met up again with Hideo Kojima.
Oh dear.
Oh boy.
Yeah, because those of you who don't know, Kojima actually appeared on Conan's Clueless Gamer series sometime back. And so he got to visit Hideo Kojima Studios.
That's China confirmed.
Yep. Probably. In fact, while there's a picture of him with in Kadeo. He drew his cartoon version. He's like, hey, can I have a job here? But yeah, it's good stuff. Just read it.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the Clueless Gamer segment where he does Death Stranding and just sits there with blank expression on his face.
Yeah.
So that's going to be weird.
Yeah. See, the cool thing about Hideo is that he's actually like a massive consumer of Western media. So he already knew who Conan O'Brien was.
Cool stuff.
And they get along really well, apparently. Yeah. So yeah, Death Stranding confirmed.
I kind of knew that already, but, you know. Anyways. So what about you, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are some nice sales on the Nintendo eShop for the Switch, at least.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you're looking to pre-order stuff, the Surgeon Simulator CPR for the Switch is 10% off. I think it's out on the 20th. So you can get a little bit of discount there on a game that looks like it's going to be pretty good. On the Switch, they have all the Arcade Archives Neo Geo stuff that's on sale on PSN. Mm. I was also on sale here. So there's Alpha Mission 2, Art of Fighting, Burning Fight, Fatal Fury 2, King of Fighters 94, King of the Monsters, Metal Slug, Puzzled, Samurai Showdown, and Super Sidekicks. They're all $4.79 each. Other stuff, there's Battle Chef Brigade for $12, Bleed 2 is $5, Crimson Land is $8. Drawful 2 is $8. What else is here? There's Human Fall Flat for $7.49. That's half off. Super Burger Time is $7.19. Let's see. Mutant Muds Collection, like all the Tui stuff is on sale. Mutant Muds Collection is half off. It's $7.49 for three of those games. Soccer Slammer is another one of theirs. It's $5, half off. Totes the Goat is $2.49. That is the Qbert-like game. There's Zeo Drifter is $5. That one's kind of like Metroid meets Mega Man. Let's see. Tumbleseed is $5. That is a really good indie game. Let's see, what else is here? I think that's probably mostly it. But yeah, some nice Switch stuff to get this week. Not much on the other platforms, unless you want Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed on 3DS or Wii U.
Yeah, well, I don't think you'd want it on the 3DS. If you still have a Wii U, no. Maybe. But you'd really want the PC version. Yeah, so.
Yeah, I have it on Vita.
Okay, but, yeah, PC and 360 versions are probably the best ones. So, yeah. I know Pat is a big fan of that game, so.
Anyway. Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that's gonna be it for today.
We somehow managed to get about an hour and a half out of that, so.
Yep. No thanks to the industry. Yeah.
Next week is gonna be a bit of a milestone, as it will be episode 200. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
So we're gonna be episode 200.
Okay, cool.
God, what have we done with our lives?
Castlevania Orion's going to be joining us. I'm guessing we're probably just going to talk about like retro stuff and whatever else the industry throws at us this week. Probably have some Nintendo stuff to talk about, hopefully.
We're getting Streets of Rage 4 and a Wind Jammers 2. Like, what the fuck? That's crazy.
It's like, there's weird shit going on in this wonderful industry. So, we'll talk about it next week. So until then, I'd like to remind you guys that you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, or your favorite podcast aggregator. And you can also check us out at smashpad.com, where we have our written content, including Dan Reb's excellent piece on Dragon Quest from Crunchyroll Expo. So be sure you read that. That's actually really good. For Brandon Perkins, Patrick Mifflin, Chris Sologi, and Dandra Victorio, I have been Filippo Dinolfo, and we'll see you next week.